News Team coverage. 94.9 WSJM News Now.
Brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan. Serving Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care at home. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. Facing a deadline of 11:59 p.m. tomorrow to make a decision on the future of Benton Harbor High School, the Benton Harbor Area Schools Board of Education will meet at noon tomorrow. The agenda includes discussion of the plan put forth by the Whitmer administration to suspend operations at the high school for at least a few years to get the district's finances and academics in order. Board members met with members of the governor's administration yesterday in Lansing to present their alternative that would keep the high school open, restructure the debt, and improve student achievement. Governor Gretchen Whitmer was not at that meeting, but her office says she will be reviewing the plan. Whitmer told a crowd at a Benton Harbor church last week she's open to any viable alternative that can be presented, adding she does not want to have the entire district dissolved by the legislature. Her plan would wipe out about $12 million of the district's $18 million debt and turn Benton Harbor area schools into a K-8 district for at least several years. The Flint Water Crisis prosecution team has dismissed all pending criminal charges brought by the former special prosecutor.
Former State Attorney General Bill Schuette spent about 3 years investigating the Flint water crisis and the role of some state employees in that problem. And now comes the new Attorney General, Dana Nessel, saying basically that investigation was botched. It did not consider all of the evidence and therefore all of the charges against eight people, including Nick Lyon, the former health director, and the state's chief medical officer, have been dismissed, quote, without prejudice. This does not mean that those folks are guilty or not guilty of anything. It also means they could be recharged as a new investigation is now launched by the new attorney general to get to the bottom of the Flint water crisis.
Tim Skubik, the Michigan News Network.
Michigan drivers have long wondered why the taxes paid at the gas pump don't all go to the roads, and the Michigan House is trying to make that change. The State House has passed its transportation budget for the next fiscal year, changing the funding mechanism that's in place to put every cent from the gas and diesel tax into roads. Oakland County State Representative Matt Maddox championed the change.
We're taking all the money that's collected at the fuel pumps, it's going to go into the roads. That's never been done before. That's a huge accomplishment.
The House Fiscal Agency says that change would put more than $542 additional million dollars into the roads, while there are other estimates from House Republicans that could add more than $800 million annually for the roads without a gas tax increase. The budget bill also ensures current tax dollars from gas and diesel taxes that go to the schools, public services, and local governments would be protected. The House budget plan does not include Governor Gretchen Whitmer's proposed 45-cent increase in the gas tax. The Berrien County Sheriff's Department is cracking down on drivers who illegally pass farm vehicles moving large equipment on public roads. Berrien County Board of Commissioners Chair Mac Elliott tells us he's been hearing from farmers about people who recklessly go around them as they're moving their ag equipment. He says those drivers need a little patience.
Typically, this is just a couple minutes, and the patience of a three-year-old is not what we're looking for with adults on the highway.
Elliott says the sheriff is working with local police departments to catch those impatient drivers and also to spread awareness.
It may serve the motoring public if people who are thinking about doing it see people getting pulled over, the lights are on, and that ticket, if you pass on a no-passing zone, that's going to cost you.
The Berrien County Sheriff's Department says farmers are legally allowed to operate farm equipment on the same roads as drivers. It advises everyone to pass with caution if a farmer is pulled off the road to allow vehicles to pass. Also, don't pass in a no-passing zone, and don't pass if it will mean getting into the oncoming lane of traffic without having a good view of what's ahead. A For Good grant from the Berrien Community Foundation will enable the Berrien County Parks Department to install some new ADA-compliant equipment at Rocky Gap County Park. Berrien County Parks Director Brian Bailey tells us the park has a barrier-free ramp to the beach, and the $1,000 grant will allow for the purchase of a beach mat going out toward the water in a T-shape.
It just allows folks to get down there closer, safer, and those that are in a wheelchair to get closer to the water.
Bailey says if it's a hit, more could be coming.
The idea is let's test it at Rocky Gap and see how it operates, see how it works, and then maybe look at something for Silver Beach in the future.
Bailey accepted the Berrien Community Foundation grant at today's meeting of the Berrien County Board of Commissioners. He says the total cost of the purchase will be about $2,400. A new solar facility is being installed near the campus of the University of Notre Dame, thanks to a partnership between it and Indiana Michigan Power. I&M spokesperson Sinead Garrett tells us the South Bend Solar Project will have a 20-megawatt capacity.
This large-scale solar project that we're proposing aligns with I&M's push to diversify our generation fleet and to ensure a bright future for our customers and all the communities we serve.
Garrett says the installation will also benefit Notre Dame.
It's an investment in our community to create a project that will have a local impact on both the environment and the local economy in the area.
Once approvals are granted in Indiana, construction can begin on the $36 million facility. Garrett says this is I&M's fourth solar facility in Indiana. It also has one in Michigan, which is in Watervliet. The solar farm could be up and running next year. And area residents in need are getting some help from a United Way effort.
The third annual United Way of Southwest Michigan's Christmas in June Challenge is being touted as a rousing success to help 32 food pantries in Berrien and Cass counties. More than two dozen businesses collected over 20,000 food items, but one stands out above the rest. Indiana Michigan Power won the Christmas in June Challenge over three others that competed. Those were Gas Manufacturing, Spectrum Health Lakeland, and Whirlpool. Utility collected 12,000 food items to win the bragging rights. The other three contributed a combined 6,600. All four accounted for over 90% of the donations. United Way notes food pantry donations in the summer typically fall drastically compared to the winter. The need is often greater for low-income families with kids who are now home from school. I'm Michael Arney reporting.
WSJM News now continues with your Hilliard Lions report.
This is Dan Norton with Hilliard Lions, a Baird company, bringing you closing stock prices and market update for Thursday, June 13th, 2019. U.S. stocks closed higher Thursday following back-to-back losses for major indexes as investors monitored a sharp jump in oil futures after two oil tankers were damaged in suspected attacks off the coast of Iran. For the day, the Dow rose 102 points to 26,106. The S&P 500 rose 12 points to 2,892. The NASDAQ rose 44 points to 7,837. Some stocks of local interest, Verizon rose 58 cents to $57.62. Whirlpool rose $4.91 to $135.08. Facebook rose $2.43 to $177.47. And IBM rose 89 cents to $135.76. This is Dan Norton with Hilliard Lions, a Baird company, bringing you the closing stock prices for Thursday, June 13th.
WSJM News now continues. The United States blames Iran for an attack on two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. ABC's Connor Finnegan has more.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said only Iran has the capability to conduct the attacks, framing Thursday's incidents as the latest in a series of assaults by Iran or its proxies. He vowed that the U.S. will defend its forces and interests and blamed Iran for rejecting diplomacy. Iran's supreme leader said he would not meet with Trump Thursday after meeting with Japan's prime minister, who is carrying a message from the president. Connor Finnegan, ABC News, the State Department.
A spokesperson for the U.S. Central Command says 21 crew members who were rescued from the oil tanker Kokuka Courageous are now on board the U.S. Navy's USS Bainbridge following the explosion. Lieutenant Colonel Earl Brown says the U.S. Navy ship was in international waters in the Gulf of Oman near the Courageous when it received a distress call about 6 a.m. local time. Democrats are reacting angrily to President Trump's comments to ABC News' George Stephanopoulos about possibly receiving information from foreign officials about political rivals. More now from ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi on Capitol Hill.
In her weekly press conference, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the president's indifference on accepting election help from foreign governments was a, quote, assault on our democracy.
It's a very sad thing. Very sad thing that he does not know right from wrong.
Pelosi's referring to Trump telling ABC News he'd be willing to listen if foreign governments offered dirt on his 2020 rivals. Mona Kosar Abdi, ABC News, Capitol Hill.
Meanwhile, the House's top two Republicans are avoiding directly addressing whether it was appropriate for President Donald Trump to say he'd listen to damaging information from a foreign entity about a political opponent. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and number two GOP leader Steve Scalise have separately told reporters that questions about that are hypothetical. The Office of Special Counsel is telling President Trump he should remove his top advisor, Kellyanne Conway, for violating a law that prohibits political activity while working in the executive branch. ABC's Andy Field has more from the White House.
This is the first time the Office of Special Counsel has recommended a president remove someone from the White House. The government agency saying Kellyanne Conway's repeatedly violated the Hatch Act, which prevents federal employees from getting involved in campaigns. That law does not apply to the president or vice president. The White House responding that the counsel's recommendation is deeply flawed and violates Conway's free speech and due process rights. Andy Field, ABC News, the White House.
Fake videos online and how they're becoming ingrained in politics. A topic of discussion in Congress. Here's ABC's Sherry Preston.
Capitol Hill takes on deep fakes, those videos that have been manipulated to appear real when they're not.
We got a preview of what that might look like recently when a doctored video of Speaker Nancy Pelosi went viral on Facebook.
That's House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, who says while that video was not a deep fake, it was fake, and it was shared online over and over and over again. He thinks companies like Facebook have a responsibility to do something about it.
Now is the time for social media companies to put in place policies to protect users from this kind of misinformation.
Sherry Preston, ABC News.
4 days after a powerful thunderstorm roared across the region, about 1,200 homes and businesses in the Dallas-Fort Worth area are still without electricity. ABC's Jim Ryan says thieves have been more than happy to take advantage of that.
Like perhaps most businesses, the Italian restaurant Cane Rosso in East Dallas has security cameras. But when Sunday's storm blew out the power, it also blew out the cameras, presenting a tempting opportunity for criminals.
Bad people take advantage of bad times.
Cane Rosso's director of operations, Todd Garten, says thieves came in at night and stole the restaurant safe. The lights are back on, as is the security system, and now...
get everything fixed and go on with business.
With Garten's stark realization...
there's bad people in the world that do bad things.
Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
And actress Jessica Biel is caught up in the middle of an anti-vaccination storm. Here's ABC's Jason Nathanson.
Overnight, the internet went wild with claims that actress Jessica Biel is an anti-vaxxer. This after she was seen lobbying in California's capital, Sacramento, against a bill that would make it harder for parents who don't want to vaccinate their kids. She was joined by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who does believe there is a link between vaccines and autism. But Biel clarified her stance in an Instagram post Thursday, saying she's not against vaccinations, she's just against this bill because she feels it would make it harder for families who, for whatever reason, need a medical exemption from getting vaccines. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
WSJM News now continues with your weather forecast brought to you by ArtFX in Bridgman. Eye-catching vehicle wraps, custom signs, logos, and apparel. ArtFXSign.com. They're more than just a sign shop.